This is CliffCentral.com. A lot of talent, hard work, admittedly faith, and an unrelenting spirit. That's what sustained my guest throughout his career and still continues to push him forward as he explores a new chapter on the African continent. He's a stand-up comic, an astute broadcaster and best-selling author. What I got a glimpse of in this interview, though, is he's more inclined to define himself as a devoted family man and someone rooted in a deeper sense of self. Needless to say, there are a few names that need no introduction, and this legend is one of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, show your love for HBO's one man, Mr. Steve!
By round of applause, how many of y'all think if the world were to end right now, clap if you think you'd go to heaven? That's a damn shame. You know good and hell well all y'all ain't going to no heaven. Half of y'all snuck liquor in here. Couldn't even get your hands up to clap. Let me ask you something. How you figure just cause you clap, you going to heaven? It ain't that easy. It's hard to get to heaven. Why you think you hear old people singing that old Negro spiritual? I'm just gonna walk around heaven all day. That's cause there's gonna be plenty of room. You ain't ever heard nobody say they're gonna walk around hell all day, have you? Cause it's gonna be packed. They're going to be up in there.
That was taken from Mr. Steve Harvey's 1997 HBO special, One Man, right in the thick of his stand-up comedy career. But that was merely the first couple of steps in an even bigger and greater career. He'd go on to tour some more, star in and create movies, write New York best-selling books, and host many TV and radio shows. His sweet spot, though? That started in 2010, when he took over the reins of a classic game show. He's won over the hearts of many Americans with Family Feud and is on a quest to continue doing so with Family Feud Ghana and Family Feud South Africa. From discussing the media industry, him sharing some of his greatest life lessons, and also chatting about his legacy, I'm Siya Sangweni, and this is my candid one-on-one with Mr. Steve Harvey. Well, the only word I can truly find to encapsulate and to define the gentleman sitting in front of me this afternoon is a legend. Really and truly, if I were to sit and go back his entire career, I think we'd be here until way into the evening. So rather, let me cut some time and simply say, Mr. Harvey, thank you very much for taking some time for CliffCentral.com this afternoon.
Sure. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, this is quite an incredible moment to be in South Africa and something great to celebrate. Talk to us a little more about the reason behind your visit today.
Well, my partners at Fremantle, who are the producers of the show From the States, Family Feud. I was in Africa last November in Botswana at the Beers Diamond Conference speaking to women. And as I was sitting there, I had an idea. I just said, wow, how good would it be if we were to produce Family Feud in Africa, where African families played against African families, and I hosted the show. And I was laughing with that with a couple of my buddies, and I went back and I put a phone call in to Fremantle. I had my COO, Brandon Williams, call and ask him how could I do that. And Fremantle is probably my best TV relationship I've ever had in my entire TV career. They're just good people. They listen. They get it. They're smart. And so when I took the idea to them about doing it in Africa, they went, well, Steve, that's never been done before. Normally we just license it out. And I said, no, I want to do it myself. And so they agreed. So we struck a deal, and here we are. And I just think it'll be great program, and it's family entertainment, you know, and it's going to be shot in Joburg for Johannesburg, and we're going to do a version for Ghana. Mm-hmm. And you never know, it could expand from there if the right people come on board, like Nigeria.
Intense nudge.
I just threw that out there, them 200 million people, that's all. Just a small little place in Kenya, and you never know, and it could grow from here.
Well, that's something new. So it will be shot in Johannesburg. So as opposed to just saying welcome to Joburg, I should be saying welcome home.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, that's exactly what it is. It was more than anything for me was my vision board has always been to come to Africa, to my homeland. You know, look, America's my home. I have a home there. I have several places there. My kids live there. My grandkids live there. My family's there. My brothers and sisters are there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my home, you know, but my homeland is Africa. Where I'm originally from is Africa. And so it just so happened that this is the same year that is the 400 years commemorating the first slave ship that left the coast.
And you were just in Ghana.
And I was just there. And it was very emotional for me, very emotional, because I'm actually the first member in my family to ever return to where we're from. No one in my family has ever, no aunts, no uncles, no nothing, has ever come back to where we're from. And it was very, very emotional. I bought some of my children came, and it's just been great. It just so happens that's the same year. I didn't come here because of the year of the return. Mm. I came here because I had a business idea last November, and through God's grace, I mean, here we are. It's actually about to happen.
But look at how destiny plays its course. You know, you weren't intending on it. You weren't marking the calendar. But things work out the way they're meant to. Well, Mr. Harvey, there's something I'd like to touch on because it's a very pertinent point that you raise around timing and around connecting. I think the broader industry within media is all about connecting all of us. And I think there's more that we each have in common than we have, you know, that sets us apart. And how do you feel to be able to play in this space of connecting people? You know, being a part of a TV show like Family Feud, you really are bringing families together.
First of all, let me say this, and this is just being honest.
Yeah.
I don't think the media has played a role in at all in us connecting.
Okay.
I think it's just the direct opposite. I think the media has done a job on us. Because it's not been important to general media for African Americans to connect with Africans. Mm. What concern is it of theirs? What would they benefit? And I think it's been a concerted effort. We don't teach our history in schools. Black history is not a mandatory subject.
Yeah.
One of our major problems in America is we don't understand who we really are. And it has a lot to do with the treatment of one another. We don't understand the connectivity between us and Africa. But see, I've been around a long time. Mm. I was around when they was calling us niggas. I was here when they changed it to colored. I was here when they said we'll now call them Negroes. I was here when we fought to be called black. And I was here when we voted in African American. See, I've been here that long. So it's been no real concerted effort on the media. There are some good people on both sides. You know, I say this all the time. Slavery did not end because black people were sick of being slaves. There were some non-slave people who said, you know what? This is an atrocity against humanity. Slavery lasted 400 years, man. That, what? 400 years? Mm. That's crazy. So I just want to say that because you said media has done, but they have not done. The school system has not done. And I don't like the way Africa is portrayed in the media also. That's another thing. You know, I just think, man, this is such a beautiful content with so many different beautiful people. There's so many diverse cultures here, and it's such a rich continent. When you come to Africa, there are things that you can only see in Africa. But, you know, they don't want to. That's not the focus point. They got everybody thinking. Everybody over here got flies on them that they at war.
It's that big
they sick and they
United
hungry.
Nations starving kid with the Boy, fly on the nose and waiting
UNICEF,
for a handout. Yeah.
Come and save the African. Then you get them celebrities come over here and adopt one African baby. You be going, where y'all going? Mm. What you think you finna fix the problem? I'm not knocking it one way or the other, but that's the focus of it. Family Feud coming here is just an entryway for us to the low-hanging fruit. Family Feud is something that's fun to connect us.
Yeah.
Family Feud is to create family television for, you know, families to sit around and enjoy.
But there's something bigger at play.
I'll
say it for you. There's definitely something bigger at play. And here's why I also believe it, particularly in your case. I remember once listening to a story you retold about a friend of yours who was sadly losing their grandmother.
And
this friend asked you to accompany him to the hospital.
Wow, yeah.
And the grandmother was saying how, and I'm paraphrasing here, but just make sure that your kids' grandkids know your name.
That's right.
That's what you leave them with.
That's right.
So it might just be, for you in your case, just a television show. It might just be, you know, just having fun.
Well,
but afterwards, your kids' grandkids will understand the story and the step that you have taken.
Okay, so you're
by
pretty
telling
slick.
The story.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay, you slick.
There we go.
Yeah, you slick. I like
that.
That
was your father's nickname. There we go. It's a pleasure, Mr. Harvey. I'm here all day. But would
no,
you agree? Would
no,
you agree?
Man. Really, that's a part of it. Two of my sons are over here, and we were talking about this.
Yeah.
And that is such a huge part that my children's grandchildren know my name. Mm. And I've decided that in this chapter of my life, a huge part of my legacy is going to be in Africa. It's not that I'm abandoning America, because I'm not.
Yeah.
Because I have so much at stake there. That's not the case at all. But I tell you what I'm going to do with God's help. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stick my flag in this continent, and I'm going to make deep footprints over here. That I'm going to, with God's help, reshape the thinking of so many young people. Mm-hmm. To give them the motivational tools that create success. Success is in between your ears, man. It's not how
Ooh,
much
we're
money.
We're going to church now.
You know what I'm saying?
I need to write that down. I need to pause with that. Success
really,
is between your ears.
It's right. It has nothing to do with your mama's money or your daddy's money. Because my mom and daddy didn't have no money. Mm-hmm. But why am I successful? Because I changed what was going on between my ears. Everybody has that ability because all of us have the power of choice. Mm. So we have the ability to change here, man. I don't care that unemployment is 29% here. What? Okay, now that's what the case is. So now what?
Yeah.
You done? It's a wrap? No more? You don't have a chance? That man, Nelson Mandela, sat in a prison cell for almost 3 decades to come out back to the same country that imprisoned him and became the president? What? What? And you sitting over here tripping because you unemployed? Oh, you tripping because you ain't got a job.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't getting visitors, regular food, exercise, sunlight. And you tripping because you ain't got a job. That's the same thing in the States, man. People sit up and they complain so much about the circumstances. When life is 10% what happens to you is 90% what you do about it. We've got to change that. You've got to get up and go. Mishaps happen all the time. It's called life.
Mm.
And success is hard. It's hard to be successful. It's not easy. But I tell you something else hard. Make the decision in your mind that you ain't going to be nothing. Just decide, I ain't going to be nothing. Watch how hard life get for you. So I'd rather catch hell trying to make something out of myself than to sit here and just catching hell sitting over here on my stoop complaining.
Yeah.
I ain't got this. I ain't got no shoes. So it's like in America, they tell you, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Well, hell, if you ain't got no boots, how you going to pull yourself up by the bootstraps? But now you going to go, I ain't got boots? Well, I didn't have boots. I had to make some insoles, make some boots, then draw me some straps, attach them, then pull them up. It just takes longer, but you can get there.
Oof.
Yeah, man.
May I just go down this path? Because you're going there with me. You've been quoted by saying, talent is what you're paid for. Your calling is what you're made for.
Right.
See, your talent, you can be a good accountant. You can be a good lawyer. That could be your talent.
Yeah.
But your gift is something. See, your talent will allow you to have a wonderful career. But this is what I've learned. Your career is what you paid for. Your calling is what you made for. Your calling is tied directly to your gift.
Yeah.
It's the only way.
When did you realize what your calling was? And then secondly, when did you start to make that decision to act on that calling rather than just use your talents?
Well, I had glimpses of it 25 years ago, but I fought it because I was so busy hustling, trying to get paid,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's the capitalist that I am in America, you know, having grew up so poor, all my focus was on getting paid. But along the way, I used to notice, like, when I first got on TV, I would go to youth detention centers and prisons across the country and speak to young kids.
Mm-hmm.
Even before I was really famous, it was always in me. You know, my mother was a Sunday school teacher for 40 years when she died. It was always in me. But as I started becoming successful, I was fighting it. Because to stop and help somebody, it takes away time from doing the things the devil was trying to get me to do. You know, I like shooting dice. I like smoking cigars.
Mm-hmm.
I like scotch. I like gambling. I like Las Vegas. So, man, I was stopping to help somebody was taking away time for my sin and debauchery. You know, I wanted to come on, participate. I could go to Vegas and everything, yes. I loved was in, I could smoke cigars inside while I'm gambling, while I'm talking trash.
And now I have to pause.
Dog.
I have to what?
Women, I was out there sin and debauchery. And I was fighting what I was called to do.
Yeah.
And then about 13 years ago, I just said, okay, look, here's the deal. This is what he made you for. But I remember something my mother used to say. You know, a lot of times you hear her, your mother's advice. She said, one day God gonna give you a big house up on the hill. When you get up on the hill, you can't get up on the hill and don't show nobody else how to get there.
Ooh.
So I started the process. And then when I gave up stand-up because of a talk show 7 years ago, going on 8, and I had so many shows that I couldn't do that in stand-up, so I gave up the one thing that I loved dearly, which was stand-up. That really hurt me, man. That was one of the most painful nights on stage of my life when I said goodbye. But I had to give it up in order to grow. And so,
to show someone else how to get up.
And now, I was in Botswana last week, speaking at the University of Botswana. I spoke at the Lynx Convention in Dubai. I go to Jamaica in October. I'm speaking in Cancun, Mexico, mm-hmm. doing a master class in Mexico. I travel the world, man. As a motivational speaker, more so than I travel the world as a stand-up. I was famous in the United States, but I never went out the country to perform. They asked me to go all the way around the world as a motivational speaker, you know?
Just in wrapping up, before we go, see what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
You slick. I like that.
Before we go, I'd like to talk about your legacy. And I know it's quite something to wrap your head around, especially when you're still in the thick of things and making things happen. But I saw on your Twitter a couple of weeks ago when you were in Cannes, minding your own business with your wife and your kids, and the Family Feud theme song started playing in the restaurant. That is miles away and a far cry from just a studio where a show is filmed. Mm-hmm. That is miles away, a far cry, and years after you had to move from Florida to New York with $35 to go to the Apollo to make sure...
Who is this dude?
I'm just saying, that is a far cry from hoping that you get a gig and you get those gigs in Florida to get that $400, then you made it to Showtime at the Apollo.
God, dope.
And Chuck was right there with you.
Man, that Chuck
Sutton. That is a far cry from that. Yeah. That is a far cry from using a public bathroom at a convention center and lathering up in a stall, and there's a conference going on, and the conference goes out and the bathroom is filled, and you now go, what am I going to do?
This dude is fascinating.
Matt,
this dude is telling this story better than me,
I'm
man.
I'm just saying, it is a far cry from that. Yeah. So bringing it back to legacy, one of my favorite stories around legacy is what Miss Winfrey once spoke about when it came to opening up the school here in South Africa. She went to the great Maya Angelou and she says, Maya, this is it. Opening up a school, it's going to change lives. This is my legacy. And Maya said, stop it, because you have no idea what your legacy will be. Your legacy is in every single life you've touched. It's in every single person who watched the show and decided to read, every single person who learned from you that I should take better health of myself. It is in every single person who learned what abuse was and stood up to their partner in a relationship. That is what legacy is. It's in every single life you touch. And so when you think about it, vacationing on the other side of the world and you are recognized at a restaurant with someone playing your show, tune, what do you think your legacy will be? Whew.
See, that's pretty big, man, because I'm at that age where I'm starting to think about it because I've lived longer than I got left, you know. That I know. I'm not going to live another 62 years, even though I'm the fly 62-year-old on the planet. Hey, you know what I'm saying?
Dab on the truth.
Yeah, can't nobody get up on this right here. But so I know I got about 42 years left, you know. I've been thinking about it. I think about it often, man, and my legacy and what it would be. And I decided, and I was talking to my wife and my sons about it, and that's why they decided to travel with me to help, because this chapter of my life is going to be a huge part of it. Because Africa means so much to me. This is long before I even thought of the idea of Family Feud. This gets me on the continent in a big way. But it's also the beginning of what God is going to lead me to do. And to be honest with you, exactly what that is, I have no idea. But the one thing I learned about God, the how-to is none of your business. It's not your business. That's his. The how-to is his. You got to be on a faith walk, man. You got to step out on faith to accomplish great things.
Come on with it.
You have to step out into the unknown, the abyss. And you have to be okay with your walk, realizing that if he orders your steps, he going to put you in the right position. All these people around here, I didn't know none of these people. Yeah. I didn't know nobody from Rapid Blue. I didn't know nobody from Fremantle over here. I don't know nobody from G2. I know nobody.
Yeah.
All these people have lined up in an order to accomplish a goal. I never met these people till today. You know? That's gone before me. That's God. That's not me. Look, man, to be in a position where people say, you know what, that's a great idea, and be willing to help you carry it out, that's crazy. You got to be humbled by that. You can't be walking around talking, well, I'm Steve Harvey. So what? Dog, I've been Steve Harvey 62 years. You know that ain't carrying no weight 30 years ago? I could have walked in the room and said, I'm Steve Harvey, and everybody went in there. Yeah, okay, and? Yeah, you Steve Harvey? I'm Jesse Patterson. I'm Rita Coleman. You know, they just had people saying their names. But through over the years, man, it changed, and I became more than I ever asked God for. I really, where I am now, I couldn't even imagine this. Look, man, this, like, really, this is crazy. To tell you the truth,
Yeah. This
is crazy. But I'm a smart enough person and humble enough to get that this is crazy. This ain't regular. This ain't how it go. Technically, I'm supposed to be at Ford Motor Company putting them 8 spark plugs in the engine 1,800 times a day, because that's what I used to do. I'm supposed to be driving a carpet truck, installing carpet in people's houses. That's regular. That's really where I was headed. I'm supposed to be selling insurance door-to-door at Commonwealth. That's what I was doing. That was regular. This ain't regular, dog. I fly on jets. They put me up here in these hotels. Look at this hotel.
At the Saxon Madiba Suite, like Mandela, as the great Jay-Z said.
Pimp, you know where I'm staying?
There we go.
This crazy. This ain't regular. My wife down the street spending so much damn money right now. This ain't regular. 30 years ago, she couldn't have went nowhere with no credit card. I ain't have no credit card. I couldn't have my sons here learning and helping me develop the second half of my life to work on my legacy from the motherland where I'm from. How I feel on this continent, It's crazy, man. This is not regular. And for anybody to sit up and act like it's regular, they done lost their rabbit ass mind, because that is not what this is. This is a gift from God. This is called favor. And I'm the beneficiary of nothing but God's grace and favor. Oof. And the moment you understand that, he'll keep you in that place. But the moment you start thinking it's you, Then he gonna let you have it. And I promise you, you can't stay here. Everybody that gets to the top and think it's about them, they fall. Every last one. I done seen it, man. The moment you get to the top and you start taking credit. Yes, you ever tried to do this here? There's a reason why
reach out and touch your back.
You can't pat yourself on the back, because Your hand don't belong back there. But if you get to the top and you fail to realize and give honor and credit to who put you there, you will not stay there. All you got to do is look. They fall all the time. I've been very fortunate, man. So you That's got your on. Podcast, make a yeah. good story, tell the truth, and let's make this show a hit, and then let's see where else that takes us to.
Mr. Harvey, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
This is CliffCentral.com.